At the time of the writing of this psalm, David was the king, that's for sure, but he was being hard pressed, and most commentators believe that the one that was giving him a very difficult time at this particular time was his son Absalom. He's gone out into a wilderness area. You can read the psalm there. It talks about when he was in the wilderness of Judah. And yet for all of that, he still enjoys cheerful communion with the Lord. And that shows us that when there's even wilderness experiences, perhaps for a time in our life, and maybe things aren't going just the way we wanted them to, we can still enjoy cheerful communion with him. I was reading with interest one of the commentators on the psalm, and they said the whole book of Psalms is an ointment poured out upon all sorts of sores, but some psalms are as ointment and balm, and they spread themselves over many different sores and apply themselves to numerous necessities. Psalm 63 is such a psalm. And in this lovely psalm, the psalmist early on, he in the verses there, especially in verse 3 that we've read together, he talks about life. And he refers to the fact that God's loving kindness, he says, is better than life. And I want to take a moment to say to you that your life is precious, older person and younger person. And whatever difficulties you may have or stresses you may feel, however hopeless the world might seem, your life is precious. And if you want to talk to somebody, you phone me or one of the elders or some other Christian, and we will reassure you that we're just the same as you. And we know what it's like in the world. And we know about the disappointments, and we know all about the sin that there abounds in every hand. But life is precious. And always remember that. Life is precious. Life is a gift from God to you and I. And then we live and move and have our being. And also at the beginning of the new year, it's good to remember that your life, it doesn't matter to me how you feel about yourself, your life can be a very useful life indeed. And the new year is a new chapter in all of our lives, here in the work in Accolade, but also in your individual personal life. And there's certain things you want to leave behind. And as I say this to you, I'm saying it to myself, that I want to leave behind last year's, if there was negligence, I want to leave it there. If there were the times of unhelpful worry and anxiety, I want to try and leave it there. And I look back and say, Lord, I wish I trusted you more in 2019. Instead of just worrying my head off about things, I wish I had really just left it with the Lord, because the worry and the anxiety changed nothing, only it didn't help me. Leave behind self-loathing. And yes, Christians can get to that point where they feel that they're just hopeless and useless. And we don't want that to happen. Leave it behind. Leave behind negative thoughts. The world promotes negative thoughts to the Christian, but God's word and God's spirit give us positive thoughts. Leave the negative thoughts behind. Leave behind doubt, whether it's concerning the Lord or his word or his people or his cause or yourself. Leave it there. Leave behind failure. Leave it there. You can't change it now, but you can leave it there in 2019. Leave behind if there has been any hardness in our hearts, or any indifference to the cause of Christ, or any despondency, let's leave it behind. And that is just, by the way, as we think of your life this year and mine, precious, a gift from God, and can be very useful. Now, when you and I estimate things, very often we do that by comparing them. For instance, if you were going to get yourself a little house dog, you may say, well, there is a Chihuahua here. It's quite small and nice for the house. And on the other hand, there is this African wolfhound. And which would be the most suitable for the house? You compare them and you think, well, that little one, it would suit much better in the situation. We estimate things and their usefulness for certain things by comparing them with other things. And David here, David is bearing his cross. His son is breaking his heart. Not the first time that has happened, and it won't be the last. I hope it never happens for any of us. But a son is breaking his heart. He's bearing his cross. He's knowing what calamities are. And yet in what he says, because he says here, thy loving kindness is better than life. In what he says, he is really saying that God's giving is satisfying, it is steadfast, and his giving is continuing. Now, I said a little bit about life in general there. It can be useful, very precious, and a gift from God. But the key to what I want to say this morning is that word life, because do you see where it says there, thy loving kindness is better than life? If you were to read that in Hebrew, it would say, thy loving kindness is better than lives. Lives. And some, many commentators believe that the reference here was to all that he had as king. A life of riches. A life of authority, a life of pleasure, a life of applause, a life of great acceptance, all of those things. And now he's out in the desert. And he's comparing. And he's referring to all of those lives. Now, today the world strives after many of those lives I've mentioned. A life of riches, a life of applause, a life of acceptance, a life of influence. And really, he's saying here, thy loving kindness is better than lives, than any of them. Yes, he's in a barren wilderness, and a time of uncertainty, and a time of heartbreaking because his son is behaving very badly. But he's saying, all that I had, thy loving kindness is better. What's he doing? He's focusing on the spiritual. And that is what I want to talk to you about for the remainder of the meeting this morning, as we come to this new year, and we have already mentioned the importance of life and how precious it is, but the word life here meaning lives. We're comparing his loving kindness to that which you can find out there. And we're giving a title to the message, focusing on the spiritual. Focusing on the spiritual. In the last year, God's love toward you and me displayed itself in kind words that we read from his word, or maybe you heard preached, and kind acts, the things that he did for us. And he came along to each of us, and as we looked into his word and fellowshiped together around his word, he fed our souls, whether it was in the meetings or at home, he fed our souls spiritually with that which is good for them. And I want to encourage you by saying that he can do even more for you this year if you will seek him. Another key part of the psalm here is verse 8, where it says, my soul followeth hard after thee. See that? My soul followeth hard after thee. So he's seeking after the Lord. He's focusing on the spiritual, the Lord's loving kindness. And he's saying it's better. It's better. And all of us will prove in our lives that spiritual blessings are better. And God's loving kindness and granting them to us is so much better than anything else that can come our way. And I want you to look at some things here as we consider focusing on the spiritual. I want to say that he can, in his loving kindness, give to every believer unequaled honor. Unequaled honor. Now, we know that the world loves honor and to be made much of. But the Lord has promised to his people, he that honoreth me, I will honor. And if you look there with me in verse 3, it says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. You and I want to say this, first of all, you and I can honor him. And that is a privilege. Just to have the opportunity in whatever you're doing, wherever you are, to honor him. We can honor him, number one, in our speaking. In our speaking, words matter. You've all heard the saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's lies. Words are very powerful. Lifelong friendships can be formed through right words. But wars can be started by words as well. Therefore, words are very important. And as you and I, as we speak this year, we can seek to honour him in what we say. In John 3, in verse 11, we read the words there. Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen. We speak that we do know. What do you know, Christian? You know about his grace. You know about his love. You know the value of God's salvation to you as an individual. And this year, may that be something that you and I are willing to speak about. Now, I know some people are shy. And that does not mean that you're a weak Christian if you're shy. It's just part of your character. You're shy, and that's fine. But there may be a wee opportunity sometime. Maybe to a loved one. Maybe to a child. Maybe even for some people, there may be an opportunity to someone who's noted for their hardness. And you have the opportunity to speak for him, because you speak what you do know. Also in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 13, it says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. So therefore it is right for God's people, it is right for us to speak. And this year, Christian, you will meet with weary ones. People who are weary in their sin. And you'll also meet with Christians who are weary because of their life and things that may be going on there. And how good it is to be able to speak a word in season to him that is weary. And to seek to lift up each other. Remember Barnabas. And I think of those who were gifted in many ways among the apostles. Some people think, well, I'd love to be able to have the courage of Peter or the preaching natural ability of Paul. And I would like to be like Barnabas. He was a son of consolation. He was an encourager. And that's what he did. He had a word in season for him that was weary. Remember John Mark? He was weary, all right. Barnabas took him. And Barnabas helped him. And also, as Christians, you and I can speak a word to them that are weary because of sin. And they've tried every avenue and it's failed to satisfy them. And this year somewhere, maybe in a factory floor somewhere, just sometime perhaps when you didn't expect it, an opening will come there and you can speak for him. And you can honour him. And young person, you can simply, by saying, no, I don't go to the pub. Or no, I don't consume alcohol or involve myself with drugs. I don't do that. You are honouring him by what you say. You can also speak a word not only to him that is weary, a word to him that is wondering. Can you think today of someone who used to love meetings? Somewhere they love to gather around the word and be with God's people and enjoy all of that. And they're not there today. First Sunday of the new year, I was praying we'd all have health and strength to be able to come out. Some will be somewhere else. Not be gathered in God's house anywhere. But they're wondering. Good to have that word. Be able to come along and say, you know, would you like to come to the meeting with me tonight? Or would you like to come along to our special meetings? The special meetings coming up here with the Reverend Johnson. And then the mission coming up with the Reverend Greenfield. Or indeed any meeting. A word in season, speaking to them that are weary, them that are wondering, or them that are wicked. People who are notorious. It's amazing sometimes. The quiet Christians that have had the opportunity to speak to them and have done it. So we can honour the Lord with our speaking. In fact, the world is evangelised by people speaking for him. That's how it's done. You can honour him by your speaking. And you can honour him by your serving. Whatsoever thine hand findeth to do, do it with your might. In the context of your individual life, The Lord may say to you, this year I want you to stand in the gap in such a way. Whether it's in your family circle or wherever it is, I want you to stand in the gap there and to serve me, to work for me there and to be mine there and serve him. Or whether it's in the congregation here. Whatsoever thine hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. We're very glad to see all the names up on the cleaning rota for the church. There's just 1 month left. And if you're able to fill that in, somebody, and say, well, I'll have a go at hoovering the church, and it's just for a month. If you want to do it, well, don't worry. If you can't, don't worry. We'll get it done between us, because among the rest of us. But if you can do that. But it is so good to see people willing to do something practical like that, and something that is ordinary. But we do it as unto the Lord. Whatsoever thine hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. We can honour him by our speaking, by our serving, by our supplicating. That we need to pray is old news for all of us, but it's still up-to-date news. We, brethren and sisters, we really need to pray. And we need to make it a priority in our life. And that it'll not just happen. We need to make it a priority. Remember Daniel with all of his difficulties. And the wee hymn says, daily he prayed 3 times. He knew the crisis that he was facing. He knew the danger that there was there, but he knew that God was faithful, and he prayed. And you and I need to pray. I'm not going to go into reasons, or we'll be here all morning. We can honour the Lord by supplicating, by serving, by speaking, by searching. By searching. If you look there at this passage, I've read all of this. It says in verse 3, thy loving kindness is better than me than life. There's the speaking, my lips shall praise thee. There's the serving, I will lift up my hands in thy name. And the thought here is of a heart that is in tune with the Lord. But it says in verse 6, I will meditate on thee. The thought is of searching out how things are. And you and I will do that hopefully this year. And we'll search out for, and we'll look, meditate upon the Lord and his word. And in that way, he will show us opportunity, and he will grant to us a spirit of obedience in following after him. But also, we can honour the Lord by shunning. Sin is always presenting itself in new ways, trying to entice people, and as has been well said, sin fascinates, and then it assassinates. And many have proved that to be true, but you and I, if we shun sin, and remember what I said, them that honour me, I will honour. And that great verse, if my people were to call by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way. That's a strong statement about God's people. Turn from their wicked way. Then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. This year, the Lord doesn't promise you health and wealth. We don't preach that gospel. We can't. It's not in the Bible. Can't preach a health and wealth gospel. But I can say this. In his loving kindness, if you honour him, he will honour you. Unequalled honour. An honour that the world cannot give. But in his loving kindness, not only is there unequalled honour, there is unchanging expectations. Unchanging expectations. If we choose the world's ways, you can be left feeling forsaken and hopeless. Forsaken and hopeless and empty. But his kindness, the Lord's kindness, assures those who follow hard after him of the very real possibility of our expectations being realized. Now, we know we're limited as men and women in what we can do. But we have a tendency sometimes to limit him. And as I wrote that down, I was thinking again of Elijah. And Elijah was really up against it with the prophets of Baal. He was so confident in the Lord, and he asked the people to put more water around the altar so that it would be so much harder, it would seem, for the fire to consume it up. Such was his confidence in the Lord. He wasn't limiting the Lord. I have limited the Lord. I have limited him. And I can say fairly safely this morning that among the congregation here, there are great expectations. People have, in the past year, laid hold upon the Lord, and in some way or another, whether it's in the work here or in their own life, they've proved him. And they know that he hasn't changed this year, and they would love to see a great work of the Lord. Yes, he's building his church, but you could be an instrument that is greatly used. And these expectations are unchanging because of his loving kindness. Remember, he is able to perform that which he has promised. Not like the world. So many promises fall to the ground and become nothing. Expectations are dashed. Over in the Psalm 126, you've looked at it with me many times. I'm going to look at it again now. I just want you to note something. It says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Now, the thought here is of the immensity of the work. The Lord stepped into their experience, and they were like them that dream. Have you ever dreamed, and I don't want you to answer this, but just ask your own heart, have you ever dreamed of something that you really liked or you really wanted to see come to pass, and yet you dreamed that it happened? I'm going to let you into a wee secret. And this a wee while ago, I'll not tell you how long ago, maybe not as long as you think, but I've dreamed of catching loads of really big fish. And in the dream, you think, it couldn't get any better than this. And then you're waking up and think, well, back to the chip shop if I want fish. But it says there, we were like them that dream. Such was the immensity of what God did, folks. And he's able to do it again. But not only was there the immensity there, there was incomparable joy. Because do you see where it says there, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Excuse me, where in the original, where it says there with singing, it's referring to joy such that the psalmist couldn't really find expression for it. And that is what happens when your expectations are realized. Now, you and I have never lived through revival times. Some have seen good days when many people have been saved, but we've never lived through real revival times. But this is a possibility here, the immensity of it, like them that dream. Dreams are usually those things which are far removed from reality. But this was real. The immensity of God's move, incomparable joy that there was with his people. But then there is the impact of this move of God. Look what it says. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Do you really think that the people in the villages and towns around here this Sunday morning are saying the Lord hath done great things for them? No, they're not. Many are not really interested in what you have to say. The Lord hath done great things for them. He is well able to fulfill your expectations. Aim big. Pray hard. Let's work to the best of our ability, knowing that he is able to perform that which he has promised. His loving kindness can see to it that he will do that. But there's also not just here unchanged expectation. There is, in the Lord's loving kindness, unmixed good. Unmixed good. Did someone ever give you anything? Or maybe do something for you? And not very long after that, you got the vibe that they sort of begrudged it to you. And while they knew that you needed the help and they give you help, they sort of begrudged giving it to you. And the kindness was mixed with, and I don't mean to be harsh here in English, just a fact, the kindness was mixed with a degree of bad-heartedness or even envy. It's not so with him. It's not so with him. You all of us, we all want good from God during the next 12 months, but we need to seek it. Seek this good from him. Seek his unmixed good. You remember over in Nehemiah, and because our time is running away, I'm not turning to it, in verse 20, we read there, whenever he was talking to the people, he was speaking about those in the desert, and the Lord had given them his good spirit to lead them. That's good from the Lord. Pray that the Lord will give all of us his good spirit this year to lead us. And over in Isaiah 55 and 2, we've preached from Isaiah 55, 1 before, about how everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and ye that have no money, come ye buy and eat. Ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price. For why will you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Eat ye that which is good, Eat ye that which is good, and your soul will delight itself in fatness. His good spirit, but his good sustenance. That is good, unmixed good that we can experience and expect from the Lord this year. And brethren and sisters, we must always remember God's goodness, there's never mixed motives there. It's always for our good. Romans 8 and 28, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But there's also here undeniable joy in his loving kindness to his people. There are times in every life when, especially if you're not a child anymore here, maybe if you are a child even, but times in every life when for a period of time due to what happens, you wonder, will I ever feel joyful again? Will I ever feel joy in my heart ever again? So down, sad, broken. Remember, he hasn't forgotten you. The psalmist says, thy loving kindness is better than all of the other things that I have. Things and situations and people can all bring happiness to your lives, that is true, but that happiness can fluctuate. So there is this joy that is not dependent upon circumstances or people. Remember when Paul was writing to the church in Galatia about the fruit of the Spirit, part of the fruit of that Spirit was joy. And there's a command there to have that fruit of the Spirit in our lives. So how can we have it? Well, I used the illustration one time before. I'm not sure if I told you before or not. It was fishing. And for trout in a lake away down in the border that the river flowed out of it into the sea. And fishing for trout, and I hooked a salmon. And as I tired the salmon out and got it closer to the net, I was thinking up all these things that I was going to tell my brother whenever I sent him a photograph of it and say, you know, you might have caught trout, but you've never caught a salmon. Look at this. Look what I got. And I was really feeling happy, and my arms were getting sore playing the salmon, and I got it tired out, and it was coming right towards the net, and I almost could hear myself what I was going to say to my brother, just to wind him up, and then the line broke. And the salmon turned away, and the way it waved his tail and was going away as if it was just at me like that. I wasn't feeling so happy anymore. I sat with the boat, with the fishing rod sitting there, sat like that for a long time. That was just happiness. The joy that we're talking about this morning, it's a deep-seated spiritual principle. It's a spiritual principle that is part and parcel of your makeup and mine because of him. Because of his loving kindness, whether it is in triumph or in trouble, his kindness doesn't change. I could go on this morning and speak that in this undeniable joy that we can have, we can joy in his person. Remember Nehemiah, he said to the people there in Nehemiah 8, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That will be your strength this year, Christian friend. Amen. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Think about him. Meditate upon him. Focus upon him. Focus upon that which is spiritual. Focus upon his loving kindness. The joy of his person, but the joy of his presence. After David had sinned in a whole lot of ways, he was pretty deceitful and tried to cover his tracks. And you find him in Psalm 51 with no joy. And that's what happens when Christians try to cover their sin. The joy goes. And he says there, restore the joy of salvation. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. And if you've lost that joy, you can have it back now. You have it back now because of his loving kindness. The joy of his person, because he's the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of his presence. The joy of his people. Yes, the joy of his people with all of our differences. The Lord brings people together and he gives to them a joy. I'll just read what it says, and I think it's worth reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24. It says, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but we are helpers of your joy. We are helpers of your joy. Would you like to be a helpers of someone's joy this year? I would. And brethren and sisters, you can help and you can encourage people by pleasantness, number one, by praying for them, and people of particular needs, reminding them that you're praying for them, and by participation in the work. We had some great meetings there with our carol service and the morning meeting and the around the Lord's table, and then the final Sunday of the year here, and then the watch night service as well. The encouragement of God's people, helping each other's joy. You look at it another way. We need the Lord with us more than anything, but if you didn't have God's people, where would you be? Where would any of us be? The joy of his person, the joy of his presence, the joy of his people. But there's not only undeniable joy, there is unfading wealth. Unfading wealth. Because in his loving kindness, the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Very often riches make people, not the happiness that they thought they would have, but it brings them sadness. They spend their time worrying about the shares and worrying about this, that, and the other, and it brings more trouble than it's worth. Not with the Lord. Not with the wealth that he gives. And he can give you, number one, in your heart. What is the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it? Well, if you have godliness with contentment, the Bible says you have great gain. Great to go into 2020 and have a contented year. Feeling there's a purpose in my life and I'm living it out every day for the Lord. Knowing his loving kindness every day. You have it in your heart. You can have it in your home. Domestic happiness. In every home there has to be give and take. And domestic happiness is very important. The devil is busy today trying to wreck that. With, I might say, with some degree of success. But this year there can be that unfading wealth in knowing the Lord's presence in the house. What a difference it makes. Unfading wealth in your heart, in your home. And brethren, as we labor together, unfading wealth in heaven. The Lord is no man's debtor. And all that we do for him, whether it's little or large, he notes it all. And he will reward you accordingly. And I trust as we go forward together, and focusing on that which is spiritual, that all of us will prove this year that his loving kindness is better than lives. Better than anything. The applause of the world. Anything else that the world can give. But that his loving kindness is of great benefit to us. May the Lord bless his word and these few thoughts to your heart this morning.